This is Ready Radio, preparing you to be ready for anything. Now, here's your survival guide for Ready Radio, John Rush.
And it's Ready Radio, KLZ 560, live program today, June the 14th, and a little warm outside, so we got lots to talk about today. Luke Cashman with me today. Charlie Grimes is out, so Luke will be taking care of us here, and of course on my upcoming program, Rush to Reason as well, which I always forget to mention the other programs. I think there are certain people that listen to certain shows, and I need to be, and Charlie reminds me, I need to be in the habit of reminding everybody of the other shows we have. So if you're just tuning into Ready Radio, we do have Rush to Reason every day, 3 to 6, live program. I also have Fix It Radio and Drive Radio on Saturday mornings, where we do some around the house stuff first from 9 to 10, and then anything car-related that you've got a question on or what have you, we do that from 10 to 1 on Saturday. So four shows, and yep, we spend a lot of time here at the microphone, and some of you probably are tired of hearing from me, but I appreciate all of you that do listen. Some of you pick and choose, and that's fine. And you know, I'm here. I'm trying to fit multiple things that I feel, number one, passionate about. All of those I just mentioned. The Daily Show, yes, that's all about just life in general, politics, etc. This is the preparedness show, where I want people to be prepared for the what-ifs of life, doesn't matter what it is. Fix It Radio is everything around the house, which this time of the year can be a lot of things outdoors. And then, of course, Drive Radio. Everybody drives, for the most part. There's very few that don't. And getting to and from is a big deal. And people always have questions. And what car is better than another? And I'm looking to buy a car, sell a car. What's that process like? How often should I change oil? You name it, we answer all those questions. So, yeah, I try to do as many things as I can, honestly, to help all of you out. And I appreciate each and every one of you listening. Last week, we got into a topic talking about if, you know, some event happens, an EMP especially, while you're either traveling or you've gotten home. And all of a sudden, Luke, you're home, you've got your carry-on, and this is a scenario where it's a quick trip. Maybe you didn't bring all of your normal luggage where you would have checked and so on. And then all of a sudden, you're halfway home. And some people have a longer Uber ride. Some could be in an Uber for 30 minutes to an hour, depending upon what they're doing. And I know there's other scenarios where you may park off-site and you still got to get to your vehicle and so on. But point being, you, and by the way, with an EMP, hopefully you've already landed. Luke's laughing because if you haven't, that's a whole nother scenario I'm not going to get into.
I don't think you need to be prepared for that one. I think the most you can be prepared is make peace with God.
thank you, Luke. Yes, there is no preparation on that one whatsoever. So yes, thank you, by the way, for saying that. And again, this is a video that one of you sent me. And as I was watching and going through it, I'm like, you know, there's a lot of great points. And Luke brought up something. We were talking before the show today, Luke, that hey, this could also happen where you're going to an event. You're going to, you know, who knows what, a ball game, could be a concert, you know, many. And I just, for grins, because Luke was like, okay, what can you actually take into some of these arenas and so on that you would actually have with you defensive measure-wise as you're heading back? And keep in mind, a lot of them, you can't take anything more than a small, either clear bag or a very small clutch-type purse even. You're not carrying a backpack in, things like that, because of course, two reasons why, by the way. It's partially because of all the terrorist movements we've had, you know, since 9/11. That's one of the reasons. I will tell you also, though, and I don't think it's a bad policy, some of it is just, frankly, the fact that there's not much room in a seat. I mean, it's already cramped enough in a lot of these situations. Having some guy with a backpack next to you, you know, trying to cram all that crap in right next to you while you're trying to sit down. And it's not like these seats, you know, are your home recliner, Luke. So I think there's several reasons why they make that happen, because if they don't have some standardization, people will bring everything under the sun in. Point being, and you brought this up, you know, before the show, what if something happened like that on, or either at that event or on your way home? What are your natural defenses going to be when you don't have anything on you? Because I even looked it up. You had mentioned, well, what about mace, pepper spray? Not allowed. Can't take it in. So now what?
Tight on options.
It's like, okay, you know, there's probably no James Bond in your shoe, and even then you're walking through metal detectors and so on. So the reality is you're pretty limited in, you know, you're going to be probably looking for something that you can, this is what we're going to talk about on the program today. You know, if you found yourself in that particular situation, there's some sort of an all out, you know, whatever. I've been reading this one book, and I'm actually now in the second series of it. So the first series of this book, America Falls, is set on the East Coast. And the premise of this book is there's been a Chinese attack, biologically speaking, and the biological warfare they released on the country affects all non-Chinese individuals. So if you're of Chinese descent, you're okay, but if not, and you're over the age of about 17 or 18, you're dead within 24 to 48 hours. That's the type of, it's a flu-like thing, comes on and people literally are dead. It's a respiratory illness, and within about 48 hours, they're dead. So it's a story about these kids, like 17, 18 and under, most of them in the story are 14, 15 years of age, trying to survive. And they're, in some cases, going up against the Chinese that have invaded. And so the first half of the series, one through six books, is on the East Coast. This one that I'm now reading, the second end of it, which is, I think, 7 to 11, they're on the West Coast. So it's kind of like I went through everything that happened on the East Coast, and now I've gotten sucked into where I'm now listening to what's happening on the West Coast. But similar situation. Difference here on this one, Luke, is the kids can still drive. Remember, they're young, so their driving skills aren't what, you know, even yours and I's are. So they're going through this process of trying to figure out how to get armed. Some of these kids, keep in mind, at that age, because, you know, the world we live in today, the part of the book that I'm in right now, one kid tries to shoot the gun at one of the Chinese folks that are attacking him, and it's on, the safety's on, he has no idea how to take it off. Because a lot of these kids have never been taught some of the basics, which, Luke, we may talk about today. I know most of my listeners feel strongly about this, but do your kids know to properly handle a firearm? Whether they're a good shot or not is irrelevant. Do they actually know to load it, unload it, check to see if it's loaded, safety on, safety off? I mean, and by the way, this is something where, and I know this is hard for some, this is where you've got to go to a firearm store or a range or whatever, because not everyone has multiple weapons on hand. And where I'm going with this is I think kids should know the multiple facets. Is it bolt action? Is it a semi-auto? Is it a shotgun? Is it a pump shotgun? Is it an automatic shotgun? Is it a double barrel shot? I mean, there's all these different types of weapons. Do these kids understand if they picked one up, how do you check to see whether it's even loaded or not, and how do you turn the safety on and off and so on? And Luke, as you know, there's a plethora of firearms that if you don't have a basic understanding, you wouldn't, even some adults wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah, let's take it one step further. Let's say you have trained your kids on how to operate a firearm. Let's say they do know how to be safe with it and how to function, but they do they know what to do in a failure? My youngest brothers,
great
for
point.
Example, they shoot all the time. We go out back, we have a range, you know, 40 acres of uninterrupted land against a backdrop, totally safe. They can shoot like no tomorrow. They hit the target every time, but the second that handgun stovepipes, Luke, can you come clear this for me?
Yeah, and they honestly, at this point, no matter what age, should know how to clear that.
Yeah,
it's, great point.
It's just not something. I mean, even if you know firearms, do you know how to clear every possible failure? Do you know how to fix it in the event that it breaks?
Good point. And also, what's making that happen? Is it dirty? Do you have a spring mechanism that's not feeding correctly? Is the ammunition not quite? You know, that's another thing where you do need to shoot and know your weapon, because I know that there are idiosyncrasies with every weapon. Probably the best way for me to say that. And I'm not going to throw any manufacturer under the bus, because, by the way, every manufacturer can have different issues. And I know somebody's going to call and say, well, this gun always shoots whatever I put through it. Well, okay, here's a question for you. Does it? Or does it put the ammunition you buy and then it feeds through it? In other words, you know, in this particular scenario, Luke, you're getting ammo from wherever you can get it. You know, whatever in this particular book, whatever the Chinese have left behind is the ammo you're now going to have to feed whatever weapon you've got. Now, in that particular case, and the book doesn't get into any of these misfeeds, misfires, but trust me, guns do that to your point. And to your point just now, do you know how to clear that, handle it, and even to look and inspect and figure out why did it just do that?
I'm not to go off on a crazy tangent, mentioned in the book, you know, picking up ammo the Chinese leave around. Looking at the war in Ukraine is a very good case study in the sort of tactics that, you know, occupying militaries will implement. You shouldn't be picking up ammo off the ground because it's probably way too hot and or booby-trapped, or, you know, the last thing you want to be doing is trying to take a stockpile, because famously they like to make the things in those stockpiles go boom when they're not supposed to.
Great point. No, and again, these are all things that we think through, and I get it. We're sort of fiction in the book, thinking really outside the lines, if you would, although I will tell you that every book, and I don't think the authors are wrong. I said this last week. I know the authors aren't wrong. Most people underestimate the degree of things that will happen and the degree to what life is like when one of the events like this actually takes place. I don't think these guys are that far off when it's all said and done. And so, again, we're just trying to get you guys to think through all of this. Not saying there's an end of the world event coming. I don't have a crystal ball. Honestly, I really have no idea what's coming around the corner. The whole point is, neither does anyone else. So at the end of the day, you know, we have to be prepared for the, again, the what ifs of life. John, what's going on?
Hey, brother, how are you
today? I'm good, sir.
Hey, it's scary. I had to say who I was. Charlie recognizes my phone number.
That, well, I did too. So, but we'll get Luke trained. Never fear. That 307 usually means it's John from Cheyenne.
All right. So when you're talking about simplistic weapons.
Yes.
The simplest weapons.
Oh, come on back. We heard simplest weapons. Ah, and we lost it, John. If you're still. So say that part again. No, you're fine. Say that part again. The simplest weapons are.
Weapon, a revolver.
True.
It's easy to maintain. It's easy to load. They usually don't jam unless it's filthy dirty and you got to teach people to clean their weapons. After that, a shotgun, a double-barreled shotgun, is really hard to screw up too. So if you're going to teach somebody to use weapons, I mean, I know you're saying that they might be available, but you know what? Everybody, because they're all watching Call of Duty and everything, are going to go for the semis and everything, but if you could grab a double barrel shotgun and a good revolver, you probably will be better.
Yeah, and then, of course, in these books, these kids, in a lot of cases, even though they've been out scrounging around and so on, depending upon their, this one, again, it started on the East Coast. That whole first series was they're in Maine and so on. This one, they're starting in Sacramento. So you kind of have to realize, okay, depending upon what area you're in, John, how many, you're different up there in Wyoming, and Colorado might even be a little different than Sacramento. How many neighbors actually have guns?
Well, that's true.
You know, for example, in this particular situation, one of the kids' family had none. They weren't, you know, the kid, this particular character, he did some shooting with the school's rifle club and so on, so had a fairly good knowledge of weapons and so on, but mom and dad did not own one.
Yeah, so he's going back to the Stone Age, you know, after the rock and the knife, the next thing is the spear, you know, if you think about it. Those were the three base weapons.
And you know what, you just mentioned something a moment ago. So Luke brought up, you know, what if you're, you know, leaving a concert or an arena or something along those lines, something major happens, it could be an EMP, it could be any number of things, John. What is now going to be your weapon of choice? Remembering that, you know, whatever you do, somebody else is liable to see what you're doing and following, you know, in your footsteps.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're going to look for the easiest weapon to pick up first, which would be, you know, a stick, you know, a club, I guess would be the...
Yeah, that would be my thought first. I mean, you just said it initially. Rocks, sticks, initially. I mean, whatever you could possibly do to defend yourself, and then... And again, you got to think outside the box, folks. What are you going to be nearby? And remember, the pandemonium will set in quickly. In other words, looting and what's happening at the store. You know, a lot of people just think, well, I'll just walk into the local such and such and take whatever I need. Will everybody else.
You and 50,000 other people.
Yeah, thank you, Luke. Yeah, you and 50,000 other people out of the stadium are doing the same thing, exactly.
So think about it. Instead of going in and to Walmart, we'll just use that. And try to get into the gun cases and everything. Go to the garden center and see if you can pick up an axe.
Axe, rake, shovel. I mean, yeah, John, any of those garden tools would be better than what some people are going to have, absolutely.
Right, because people aren't going to think outside the box and go for those things first. They're all going to want to go for the guns and the knives.
Right.
Yes, those are important, but how many people are going to fight? But the biggest thing, I think, is have an escape plan.
Yes.
If everything goes to hell, what am I going to do to get out of the area of the crowd?
Yeah, and by the way, I'm glad you said that, John, because every one of these, to the author's credits, they've thought very well through this because, all of your, major stores and, you know, those types of outlets are going to get inundated first. And the other thing that starts to happen that I think these authors are very keen on is the gangs start taking over immediately. They've already got, keep in mind, the resources, the manpower, and so on to start rolling through and claiming territory, if you would, meaning that things get dangerous rather quickly.
So, like, say it was, this is an example. Say it happened and you were at Coors Field. Which way are you heading?
Well, in my case, just knowing where I live, I'm heading west.
Right, and I'm heading north as fast as I can.
Yeah, I'm getting out of that general vicinity as fast as I can. And by the way, I'm not going to go down the highway.
Right. So you got, you're saying you got a running vehicle.
Well, and again, that you have different scenarios. In this particular case, these kids do. In an EMP, of course, John, no, you wouldn't.
Yeah, right, unless you're driving your high school car.
Unless you got an old car, exactly.
But if you think about it, though, John, if it's a non-EMP and something like this happened, you know, we wouldn't be around. It would be kids.
Correct.
But if it's, you know, say it's something else like a massive, it's an EMP or a massive power outage, and you, say, parked out at, out by the airport and took the train in. Well, now you got to figure out how to get back to your car to get to the air, you know.
Great point.
Are you going to abandon it and just head towards home and go as far as you can and then rest? The other thing, though, is did you harden your car? I saw your sponsor, the EMP sponsor guy. I can't remember his name. He has a thing that you can put in your car for about $400 that he says it'll survive the EMP.
Correct.
So if you have that in your truck or your car, say it's your truck, your car, whatever, now which way? So you're west and I'm north and you're at your car and it's hardened and you can go. Which way are you going to go where you'll be able to go without being inundated with people that are in panic mode?
And, that wanting to take over your vehicle, that's where it really gets dicey because it's almost, John, where I would almost say that hopefully in that scenario, you've got the vehicle hardened. Maybe you've got some other protection devices in said vehicle. One where I'm going to say, you know what, depending upon the time of day it is, I think you're better off to go find a place out of the, you know, kind of out of harm's way if you can. In other words, where's an area where you've got pretty good view of things around you, but you're not in the midst of everything else going on, and how do you wait out several hours while some of this stuff dispels?
Yeah, do you wait until dark when people be more in a panic?
Absolutely.
Or do you wait overnight and try to do it just at first light when everybody's at their,
Everything I'm reading in these books and from what, again, I don't think these authors are that far off. You know, they've got great minds. They're thinking. I would say you go find a place to hunker down. You maybe hang out till 2-3 in the morning to where things have really kind of started to, you know, kind of settle down. And even if they're not fully settled, you know, it's you've got the you know, darkness upon you and so on. And this, again, even on the vehicle, you may be thinking, okay, what can I do to still see, still be able to drive without having attention drawn on me by having all my lights on?
Right. So then you're hoping that it might be a clear night. There may be a moon. Or you have something, you have night vision, which are getting cheaper as they go along. I remember when I was in the military, we had blackout drives. We had just these itty-bitty little lights. They really didn't give you any light. They were mainly to see the vehicle in front of you and the vehicle behind you. You know, they were called blackout lights. But, you know, the other thing is people don't realize if you can get away from all natural light for 30 minutes, you'd be surprised how much your vision will adjust.
Absolutely. Yeah, and again, in that particular case, you know, in this scenario, you've parked, you're kind of getting out of the way of everything else. You're probably, you know, I wouldn't suggest taking a nap, by the way, because there's too much going on that you need to be alert for. But by then, yes, your eyes have really adjusted for a while when it's all said and done. And yeah, John, to your point, yes, absolutely.
So, like, I think about this because, you know, if I was down by the airport and something, my car was there and I had to head north, I would stay as far east as I could out in the prairie until I got up closer to home. Because really, if you think about it, you get 20 miles east of I-25. There ain't a whole lot out there except for farmland.
Right.
And that, so though, that's a better, safer way than trying to go up I-25 or 85. There's some roads even to the east of 85 that you can go up and get, you know, north of Fort Collins up by, like, Wellington. And then you're on back roads, and there's not a lot of people up there, so you could probably maneuver to get there. In your case, is there back roads that aren't as crowded?
I have less choice. Well, I mean, I have less choice than you do because I'm heading directly west, and you've got to still get through the city to get there. Fortunately for me, I guess there's more than one route, and you're just going to have to do your due diligence to try to determine, you know, luckily for me, I can take probably one of five or six routes home. And again, at that point in time, given the circumstances, it's going to take a while. You're just going to have to, and you too, it's going to take a while to get there no matter what.
Oh, it's going to, it's going to take 8-10 hours.
Absolutely.
Minimum. Because you don't know what you're going to run into. You can't be just saying, all right, well, I'll do 70 miles an hour. Well, yeah, until something gets thrown at your car or something.
Right.
You got to be,
So thrown at, shot at, you mean you name it. There's all sorts of things that can happen in that scenario.
I feel like people get too in their own head. Everyone thinks that they're going to be the Rambo or the John Wick who saves the day. You got to realize in the state of Colorado, you're contending with hundreds of thousands of people.
Millions.
Who all have the exact same idea you do.
Millions.
You are not the only person in this scenario.
Absolutely. You know? Now, really quick for both of you, Luke and John. Yeah, there will be a certain amount of people that just shut down. They don't know what to do. They're freaked out. They're done.
They're
I get it. But you're going to have, and I think Luke's correct, even if there's, you know, 3.5 million or so people here, granted, that's some kids along the Front Range, but let's just take just, you know, 10% of those. 90% don't know what to do, 10% do. That's still a lot of people you're contending with.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to think, too, when the going gets tough, it's like, let's look at the real number. How many fathers are going to try and protect their family? How many mothers are going to try and protect their kids? How many brothers are going to be protecting their sisters? It's like even some of the outliers are going to be doing absolutely everything they can to make sure they have a leg up against you.
Absolutely.
And it goes back to, do you have at least a small evac bag in your car?
Right.
You know, if something happens and all of a sudden you got to abandon the car and start walking, do you have the right footwear? We've talked about this before. Do you have a pack? Do you have a, you know?
Yeah, because, by the way, you might be ditching the car. You may say, listen, I know this one's hardened and I could use this, but if you end up in a scenario where you're just not going to get where you need to go, you're still walking, John.
Right, exactly. So one of the things everybody should have in their car is an emergency poncho and a space blanket.
Agree.
Because those two things you could camp overnight with.
Yep.
Wrap yourself
up. Yeah, I mean, I think even from last week, some of the things that I'd want to make sure you've got pretty much at all times. Water, extra socks, something where you can gain some calories fairly quickly, some cash, of course, for the first 24 to 48 hours, and then, of course, you know, some sort of a fire starter because you never know where you're going to end up.
Get a good pair of walking or running shoes. If you're on the 25 North in the middle of bump-and-go traffic and an EMP goes off, are you going to walk the next 3 miles to the nearest exit in your work shoes?
Right.
Well, in my case, because I wear hiking boots to work every day when I go to the office.
No, but I think Luke brings up a great point. There's going to be a lot of people that are running around in loafers and high heels that, no, they're not going to make it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the same thing. We talked about this a while back in winter. What do you have in the car, you know, to survive overnight? And you better have some boots of some kind to keep your feet warm.
Right. Yeah, and that's the other thing. When does this happen? What time of the year would something like this take place? Now, in these scenarios, it happened to be, in this particular scenario, I should say, in this book, it's fall/winter.
Okay,
worst time.
You got that next level.
That's right.
Do you have some waterproof pants and a waterproof jacket, or at least water resistant, or maybe a pair of rain pants that you keep in the car that you can pull over your pants to just try to keep yourself dry? Because once you get wet, it's really hard to stay warm.
Yep.
Even if you have the right clothes.
Absolutely.
Wool and the right fibers, you know. Polyester.
About the only exception to that is if you've got straight, you know, polypropylene underwear and straight wool on top of it, you're probably okay. But John, how many people wear that on a daily basis? None.
No, not at all.
None.
But if you have a pair, if you picked up a $20 pair of rain pants at like Sierra Trading Post and threw them in the back of the car or in your go box, now your legs are going to be dry.
Correct.
And if you have a rain jacket, you could put that on over, buy a one size bigger, and put it on over your winter coat. One, it adds a windbreak, and two, it's going to keep that coat hopefully drier.
Yep, you're right. You know?
And then, of course, a knit cap. You can't beat a knit cap and a pair of wool gloves in the car, though. If you don't have that and you live in this climate, you're asking for trouble.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, John, have a good one.
You too, man. Appreciate you, John. With that, we'll take a quick timeout. Ready-radio.com is our website. This is Ready Radio, KLZ 560. All right, we are back. Ready Radio, KLZ 560. Website, ready-radio.com. Luke and I were talking through the break about just the type of people that you will be contending with in any of these scenarios, by the way. You know, maybe minus the one where it's the plague, the Chinese unleash a bioweapon. And so, you know, that one maybe not so much because there's hardly anybody around because all the adults have died, except for the Asian descent individuals. But remember, those folks that you're battling in traffic, where you're thinking, you know, why is the traffic even doing what it's doing and so on? Remember, those are the people that you will be battling away with when you're heading wherever it is you're trying to go. And whether that be, to Luke and John's point, on foot, on car, just depends on the situation. Just remember, those are the people that you're actually going to be contending with when it's all said and done. I should have mentioned coming into the program today, and I failed to do so. Supreme Court ruling, 6-3 against the whole bump stock ban. Now, I won't get into all the details because it's not necessarily the ruling itself in the Supreme Court on the bump stocks per se. It's more about what did the ATF do. I'll get into more of that this next week on my other program, Rush to Reason. But for those of you listening in this program, that's a pretty good win on the Second Amendment end of things. And again, sort of recapping, those of you maybe have tuned in late. We're talking, Luke Cashman's with me today, really talking about in a scenario where you're traveling and you don't have all of your normal gear with you, or you're on your way back from a trip and you don't have all of your gear with you, again, because you're limited to what you can take on and off the plane. Yes, I know if you go someplace in the U.S. and you want to check a weapon, I get it, you can do that. Okay, here's the reality, though, most don't. Even those of you listening that say you can do that, you're not either. I'm sorry, you're just not. Unless you're hunting, or you're going, you know, you're somebody that shoots competitively or something like that, and you're traveling someplace for shoot or something like that, very few people travel with a firearm. I've done it in the past a couple of different times for whatever reasons. It's a pain in the rear. Declaring, it's a pain. It's not an easy thing to do. And you have to have ammo, and I'm not even going to get into all the details. You can look it up for yourself. Each airline's a little bit different, but it's a pain in the rear. And I'm just telling you, Luke, no matter what type of a individual you are, you're likely not doing that.
Especially if you're going to some of the popular destinations like California for a spring break or summer, visiting family in Florida. It's like, it's too much.
Anywhere on the
East Coast.
I've done it a few times in my past. I'm not sure why. I guess just to do it, learn about it and so on. There's been a few hunting things along those lines where I've done that, Luke. But again, all in all, it's not worth doing. It's a pain. It's really restrictive. In most cases, you're not going to have that firearm and or weapon with you in the scenarios we're giving out. Even locally, you go to an event, you go to a concert, you go to your kids' school concert, you go to a concert at Ball Arena. There's big country shows going on right now down at the big stadium, down at whatever it's called now, not Invesco, but I don't know, Empower Field. I call it Maha Stadium, but whatever. I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. Any of those, go look at the items prohibited from entering. You're not exiting there or entering there with anything of value you're now going to help defend your life with. And Luke and I were talking during the break. Those of you out there, and I don't think I have many of my listeners this way, but there are some out there that think, I'll just go Rambo on everybody. You know, I'm going to have my protective vest, and I've got my armor. I've even bought some of that stuff and so on, and I'm good to go because I got my body armor, et cetera, and I'm good to go. Yeah, no, you're not.
Karen Murray, Franktown Firearm, yeah. Shooting the Breeze, she has a very good quote that I absolutely adore. It's, you will never rise to the occasion. You will fall to the level of your training. And if, you know, if the last time you've decided to throw a punch at a punching bag was 20 years ago, or maybe you wrestled in high school and you haven't re-upped on any of those skills, you are not going to become the main character of this fantasy you're telling yourself. You will fall to the lowest level that you have trained for. And for a lot of people, you know, in the greater world, it's not a lot.
That's not much. No, what I will tell you from these books, and Luke does the same thing I do, so I love having him on the program with me here because we both are interested in this and listen to a lot of the, you know, quote-unquote Audible books, etc. And I will tell you that most of the main characters, not all, but the majority of the main characters in these books, it's exactly what Luke just said. And by the way, the majority of these characters are everyday individuals. Young, old, middle age, whatever, not a lot of training. They're not, you know, there's been a couple of books I've read where there's some ex-military and so on. And here's the reality. Even, again, they're fiction. They're going off what these authors are writing. But even the ex-military aren't getting any further ahead than the 14-year-old kid. What it really comes down to is who's the smartest of the bunch? Who's really thinking through things? And even, where do I sleep? What do I do? Now, in a lot of these, the one I'm reading right now, the characters make a lot of mistakes. The authors are pretty forgiving, or I guess, how should I say, they have a lot of foresight into, okay, this is a 14-year-old kid. Are they going to take the keys out of the car or leave them in it? Are they going to take the weapons out of the car? Or are they going to leave them in it? Well, in this particular book and these scenarios, they're not super wise. And even as you're listening, you're like, take the keys out. Take the guns out. Take that stuff. I mean, you're yelling at the radio. Take those things with you, because he's writing it where they're not, but most likely they wouldn't. And in most cases, they probably wouldn't either. So, Luke, they're probably pretty accurate. And part of the trouble they bring on themselves in these books, the characters do, is because they haven't thought through things all the way. And I think what I would try to tell people to do, Luke, yes, you need to sharpen your skills. If you're not familiar with any kind of weapons, guns, etc., get yourself familiar. In fact, familiarize yourself with all sorts of different weapons, not your favorite. Because, again, will you have your favorite on that particular day? Luke, I have no idea. You may not. You may be picking something up off of somebody else that dropped it, and it may not be something that you're even remotely familiar with. So the more familiar you are with all these different things, the better. But what I will tell you really should sharpen your skills on is the thought process. And by the way, that's not from playing video games and so on. I will tell you that I think it's more from reading a lot of these books, picking up different tips here and there. And even, for example, Luke, where do you sleep?
It's a big one.
Where do you bed down? How do you keep yourself secure in those particular situations? How do you get a little shot? Because, by the way, you're going to get tired.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of where to sleep, one of those books that sort of ran me through, like we're talking about in your head, it gets you thinking, where the characters, you know, winter's coming down and they're bunkered up in their house. Well, it's a new house. It's a new house that doesn't have a working heater. The walls are too thin. It's a very big house. All of the heat's rising to these super tall ceilings. These aren't things you normally think about. Okay, now I need to look for a brick house with a wood-burning stove. And it's just, it's so many different ideas that don't come to mind until you're really confronted with all of the possibilities.
Luke, you are spot on. And again, a lot of people think, I'll just ramble my way through this. Or, hey, I've got my house, it's all outfitted, I've got my generator, etc. Okay, well, how long is that lasting?
How loud's that generator in an otherwise quiet neighborhood?
Thank you. For example, in this particular book where the Chinese have now pretty much overtaken, and by the way, gangs and stuff still overtake, no daytime fires. You can't have a daytime fire because people will see the smoke rising and automatically know there's somebody there and they're going to be gravitated and come right towards you. Even if it's friendlies and it's not necessarily the enemy, how many friendlies do you want to have around now and care for, given the fact that you're still trying to get all this stuff shaken out and figure out what you're going to do next? So, Luke, these are things that a lot of folks don't even think through. It's like, okay, should I have a fire during the day or not? Well, the reality is in most cases, no, you're not going to be able to have one. So, okay, so how do you stay warm? How do you keep yourself, you know, in all of these books, and even this one right now? Infection. You get cut. You get bruised. There's this one particular scenario in this book where there's an ice pick incident. I won't get into details because I don't want to take that away from anybody that wants to read the book, but there's an ice pick incident. Okay, well, that ice pick can be detrimental to the life of an individual, even though it's not a killing event per se. The infection afterwards, given the fact that you don't have any way to actually treat that wound correctly, it now is a death, you know, situation that you're up against because infection has now set in.
Absolutely. I mean, you step on a rusty nail You get pricked by a plant you're not familiar with. Some animal bites your foot in the middle of the night.
Thank you, even a bite, yes. Yeah, you know, in a lot of these, of course, the dogs now start to, that's the other thing that happens people forget about. When there's not as many people around to even handle the pets, where do you think the pets go? Well, they're looking for food and things as well. They become pack animals like what they were originally. They're no longer, you know, Fido, who's your best friend. If there's 6, 10, 8, 12 of these animals all running around, they're now hunting you. You're now their food. Again, these are all things that Luke, as we get, you know, nobody really, and even I'll be the first to admit, even early days of doing this program and getting started, I didn't think about some of those scenarios until actually reading and listening to some of these books where these things now become front and center. And it's like, oh, wow. Zoo animals. Think about that one, for example. Most big cities have zoos. Okay, what if there's no longer any caretakers there and all of the electric locks are disabled? Now what?
Yeah.
You know, are you going to now see everything from elephants to lions to tigers and bears and so on all running around the city streets? Possibly.
And one of the other big things, another thing I didn't consider, the book I was telling you about after it happened, they're in Europe. They need to cross an underwater, you know, tunnel system that links the continent. Well, there's no more generators recirculating that air.
Yeah, nothing.
The air's bad. You got to make it quick or you're out of oxygen. Now think, if I need to cross the Rockies, right? You know, how many of those incredibly long tunnels are now going to be very dangerous?
Great point. Great point, because they're also choke points. So you'd look at gangs and other things along those lines.
No way to know if there's a landslide up ahead either.
You have no idea what's on the other side. So, yeah, these are scenarios that everybody has to think through. And what I'm getting at is read these books. Be careful of who you're following on social media as well. I'll be the first to tell you that. Some of these guys have really brilliant ideas. Some of them are literally the Rambo type where they're just going to Rambo you through it. Well, no, that's not going to get you where you need to go. So we'll come back. Don't go anywhere. This is Ready Radio. Ready-radio.com is the website. We'll be right back. KLZ 560. All right, we're back. Ready Radio, KLZ 560. I've got about 5-6 minutes left. Jim, you're up. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, yeah. So, you know, I want to tell you about this movie I saw. Here's the one thing a lot of people don't think about. Is it's going to be the whole food situation, John.
Yep.
People are going to, if something really was to happen, if people start starving, let me tell you something, John, people become animals when it comes to food.
Absolutely, Jim. Yeah, no, everything we were talking about earlier with John, Luke, you know, chiming in as well. You know, you're 1,000% correct. I mean, everybody is going to be scampering for the same thing.
And let me tell you something. The true nature of people will come out because, you know, our society today, it's everything's about the children. Well, let me tell you something. Even during wars, children are at the end of the line for food.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
And I saw this. I watched this movie on TV. I thought it was a really good movie. Even though it was kind of very left-leaning way of thinking how with this movie. But these four groups of friends, they were all married and everything. And only one of them had kids, but they went up to their friend's cabin up in the mountains, and basically the guy was all prepped, okay, but he kept all of his prepping to himself and his wife. He never told any of his friends. Well, while they were up there, an EMP happened, okay, and so nobody was able to leave. So everybody was stuck at this guy's cabin. And some of the townspeople had came up to see if everybody was okay. They said, sure. Well, anyways, one of the girlfriends of one of the guys, she was such a city girl, she just couldn't stand being way out there in the woods. She had to be back into town. And, well, she happened to stumble while she was up there. She happened to stumble across his cache of food. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you what—that guy should never let that female get away from that group of people. Because the first thing she did was when she went to town, she told everybody in that town about his cat.
I was just going
to
say the other thing, Jim. You got to worry about in every one of these books has pretty much been spot on that as well. Is people talk, you're going to have to keep a lot of things that you have and own to yourself.
That's exactly right. I mean, exactly right. And but I'll tell you what, it's amazing. Like I said, and all those town people really knew this guy and his wife really good, and they became animals, and they were going to lynch this guy.
Oh yeah,
they said he was hoarding. He says, "No, I'm not hoarding nothing. I prepped for this kind of scenario, and because I prepped, you want to kill me because you guys had the lack of foresight to see that something might happen in the future, and they didn't care." Unfortunately, one of the wives of one of the other guys staying with him, she had a bigger set of you know what than her husband did. Anyway, she grabbed the handgun and went to town, and they were about to hang this guy, and she shot a couple of the guys and said, "Let him loose," and they turned him loose.
Interesting.
Well, the left leading part of this movie that finally came out was, well, they ended up sharing all their food with the townspeople and all their medicines and stuff. Well, now where are they? They're in the same boat as all the
That's right. Now you're yeah, exactly. At that point, why bother?
One of the things
That's
you got to think
exactly
of.
Right.
Go ahead, Luke.
Talking about the kids and talking about the townspeople, sort of put it into perspective. We're talking about everyone gets in their own heads about it. You got to think, right? You, John. What would you do? What extent would you go to? How far would you push to make sure that you and your family were safe?
Absolutely, all the way to the end.
Everyone else is going to be Absolutely. Feeling that exact same thing.
That's right.
Everyone
that's
else is going
right.
to be fighting just as hard
that's
as you
right.
to feed their family. It doesn't matter who's
that's
prepped
right.
and who isn't. At, you know, at the end of the day, they are going to do everything they can.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. So,
good anyway, call,
I
Jim.
Just thought it was a really
no, you're right.
Good.
Spot good. On. Good call. Appreciate you, Jim, very much. No, Luke, he's exactly right. And so my feeling on that is you've got to think through on the front side of this as to where you currently live. And I'm not telling everybody, Luke, to you know pack up, move, go find another place. I think, though, you really need to look hard at, okay, if my place isn't going to be the place to be, where else could I quickly move to, secure it, and hang out there? So, for example, and this is something you have to do faster than everybody else. For example, some of you live close to a elementary school. Maybe you live close to an office building. Maybe you live close to a church. Okay? Keep these sorts of things in mind where it comes to, okay, wait a minute, what kind of a fortress, if my house isn't going to work because I don't have anything special going on, but I could pack up quickly and move to the school that basically is just down the street, you know, maybe it's around the corner, you know, across from the park that is in my neighborhood. Okay, could you and collectively, you and some of your neighbors on the front side through some of these conversations you should be having now, could three or four families of you take everything you've got, all of your resources, and go hang out at the school? These are things you guys need to be thinking through because, by the way, the school would be a lot more safe and easy to defend than what your house would be. Because, by the way, it's already somewhat set up that way. Got to get in, of course, but those are the things that I'm telling people, Luke, on the front side. That's where when your brain is more engaged than your brawn, you're going to get farther ahead than the guy that just has all the muscles.
Because everyone will eventually figure it out. It's a matter of time.
That's right.
Everyone will eventually come to the same conclusion that we need food, we need water, we need shelter. It's just a matter of how quickly you get there. Having a plan to get there first is the best leg up I think you can have.
Right. And again, is it something where you go, you know, we're looking out at all these office buildings to the west and so on. Are you better off occupying one of these as opposed to your home? I don't know. I mean, that's one of those things where you've got to be thinking ahead, Luke, on all these different things. And again, we're talking about end of the world type scenarios where there's some sort of a dramatic event to where everybody's in the same boat. I mean, I'm not talking about a bad snowstorm and things like that. No, I'm talking those end-of-the-world scenarios. There's some sort of a big solar flare. There's an EMP. There's some sort of a biological, you know, warfare that happens, you know, the Chinese, whatever the case may be. Have you been somehow spared? Even if you're not, have you taught your kids? In this particular book, you know, The Kids Live, have you taught your kids, hey, something happens to us, here's the plan of attack. Have you even written some of those things out? And I know some of this sounds a little bit morbid, Luke, but you've got to, you know, these are things no one thinks about, by the way. Only a select few individuals think about these things.
I mean, it's better to be morbid and eventually right than try and err on the side of, you know, everything's sunshine and flowers on the 1% chance that you're wrong.
And
it's not a gamble I'd take.
I'd rather have something prepped for that 1% chance All it takes is a little thoughtfulness on, hey, if this were to happen, here's what you're going to do. And at least think through that. Even if it never happens, I mean, while you buy insurance, by the way, Luke, I mean, people buy insurance on a regular basis, yet they're not thinking about any of these things. We buy insurance for that one in a million chance something might actually happen. Bad hailstorm, car wreck, whatever the case may be, health-wise even. But yet nobody thinks about this end of things and that particular 1% event that may come up. And yet it would have taken very little time to have thought through some of these things on the front side. And that's all we're trying to do on this program, folks. I got to get things wrapped up. But go to the website, ready-radio.com. We got a lot of resources there. We keep adding to those resources. I've enjoyed having Luke on. We'll do this again in the future, Luke, because it's always good conversation back and forth. It engages others as well. So, guys, again, Ready Radio, thank you for listening. If it's a replay show you're listening to, thank you for that as well. This is it, Ready Radio, KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.